Well, I need to get dressed here, and so I'm going to be in proper format here tonight of being in the pulpit because of the passage that is in front of us. Jeremiah was assigned by the Lord to stand and to preach a message, but he wasn't allowed to do it just standing and preaching. He had to do it with a yoke on his shoulders. And so it's a reminder to us that this passage is to convey something to us that's out of the ordinary. And so I'm calling this, which yoke fits better? But as you look in terms of the yoke and of what Jeremiah was to put on, the passage that is before us is a bit of an unusual confrontation. It's a confrontation between truth and error. Now, next week we will look at those who claim to speak for God, but are not really speaking for God. But Jeremiah has this yoke on him, and so you take, in verse 2 it says, "Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them on thy neck." So that's why I'm doing this follow through in terms of what Jeremiah was told to do. "And send them to the king of Edom and to the king of Moab and to the king of the Ammonites and to the king of Tyrus and to the king of Zidon by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah." So they're gathering for some kind of a high-level training session or a conference on what to do in terms of working out a strategy on how to deal with King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. As they did so, then, they're trying to work out this scheme of how they're going to do it, all of a sudden, they have all these dignitaries, all in their royal refinery and so on, and here shows up a guy with a piece of wood over his shoulders. And you say, what kind of a crazy thing is that? And that's exactly what people faced in Jeremiah, what Jeremiah faced in his day. Here they were, all these dignitaries showing up and, oh yes, the red carpet's out for them and so on. And then here shows Jeremiah with an ugly piece of wood on his shoulders and showing it as a yoke. So we come, number one, to his message to the kings. Verses 4 through 11. Verse 4. "And command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him." In verses 4 and 5, he describes that God is sovereign of this world. God is the one who made the world, and he's the ruler of it. All of you kings, you gather and you think, ha ha, look at us, and look how impressive and how powerful we are. And he says, forget it. You're really nothing, because yes, you bear responsibility, but the one who ultimately is in charge is Almighty God. And then in verses 6 and 7 he says, God establishes and overthrows governments. Your government. The government of Nebuchadnezzar. God is the one who raises it up, and God is the one who demolishes powers and governments. It is a reminder to us, look at verse 7, "All the nations shall serve him, and his son and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." Here it's a reminder of saying that Nebuchadnezzar's time is limited, that Nebuchadnezzar would rule for a period of time, but then he would be overthrown. And we saw that the other week as we were studying in the previous chapters. But in underscoring this point, you come to verse 8. "And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with sword and with famine and with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him, to those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. As a part of this, in terms of his message to the king, he says God's truth will triumph over the lies of the false prophets. False prophets come, they say, no, you know, we're on this little hiccup, things are going to turn around, they're going to improve, they're going to pick up, we're going to be okay. Don't worry about that. Jeremiah comes saying, those prophets are lying to you, and as they lie to you, their real agenda is to bring you down so that you will be forced to leave your homeland and go into exile and suffer enormously in the midst of that. So now verses 12 through 15, we come to his message to Zedekiah. His message to Zedekiah. I spake also to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, according to all the words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish, ye and all the prophets that prophesy unto you. Well, in these verses he says, a plan for your survival is you need to submit to Nebuchadnezzar. Meanwhile, Zedekiah is saying, no. My plan for survival is I'm going to go out the back gate, I'm going to find my way, and I'm going to run, and I will escape. I will get away from Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to submit to him. I'm not going to be some wimp. But then Jeremiah comes to him with this point of saying, Zedekiah, stick with the truth. Stay with the truth. Stay with what you've heard, what you've been taught. Stay with the truth. Right now, there are many who lie to you, who don't care about your soul, don't care about you for the long term, but they're lying to you, and they're saying to you, no, don't worry about that. You can go and do what you want to do. Zedekiah, don't do that. Stay with what God has said. Stay with the truth. Stick with the truth. Well, as he spoke those messages, notice verse 13. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. And what I'm asking you to note in these verses is that here Jeremiah, even though Zedekiah has not been very charitable to him and has been pretty rough with him, he still cares about Zedekiah. He cares about Zedekiah's family. He cares about Zedekiah's well-being. And so he comes back to him and he says, oh, Zedekiah, please, won't you hear this message? This is a message for you. This is a message for you to repent. This is a message for you to return to the Lord. Stay with what you know to be true. We come then to the third point, and that is his message to the priest. His message to the priest. Verse 16. Also I spake to the priest and to the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them that serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if a word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars and concerning the sea and concerning the bases and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. What's he saying there? It's the message to the priest. So he's addressed this situation at large of the kings of the other lands, and he said to them, you need to hear this. There is a sovereign God who rules. There is a sovereign God who's over all this world. And you need to hear him, and you need to pay attention to him. That is still God's message to the kingdoms of this world. Not just to the United Kingdom, not just to the nation of Israel, but for all of the kingdoms of this world, there is to be the reminder that God is the sovereign one, God is the king, and all must bow before him. One day, Philippians chapter 2 says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all the earth. But this message to the priest. Here's the reminder in terms of positive thinking or possibility thinking won't change God's truth. Verse 16. This is what God has said. Even though the priest has spoken and they've said, ah, no, look in the mirror and stand up and say, we will do this. We will win. We will try. We will overcome. And he said, no, you're not going to overcome. You're going to lose. The vessels that were taken off into exile in Babylon because they didn't have an image to take, no idols to take. So they took the things that they used for worship. They took those with them. And Jeremiah said, now, if you want to do something to really demonstrate that you're praying and that your prayers are effective, that something's really happening, then pray that Nebuchadnezzar will not take away the remaining things of the items of worship that are in the temple still, that are left behind. Nebuchadnezzar left those behind. All right? He took these off into exile. He's taking those things away. But these things are here. So if you want to do something, pray that they will stay here. Pray that they will not be taken away. Well, if you know history, you know what happened. Nebuchadnezzar not only came and he took them away, but when he took them away, it was a point where they were held in Babylon. And a few weeks ago, we went to Daniel chapter 5 and we looked at King Belshazzar. And when King Belshazzar, who was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, was having this big banquet and all the party and everybody was drunk and everybody was enjoying all the lovely food and everything. And then they find that he says, "Oh, we don't have the stuff from Jerusalem. Hey, go get that from Jerusalem. Hey, I want those. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in." And bring them all in. And he's ready to have a party and say, here, we're going to drink to the God of Jerusalem. We're going to show we are triumphant. We've beaten. We've won. And then that handwriting that took place on the wall. But remember that those items were still in Babylon at that point in time. How long ago was that? Well, that was 70 years after Jeremiah was speaking. Or approximately 66 years, as we saw the other week. But nearly 70 years later. But no, these had stood and said, no, these items were, well, no, everything's going to be ship-shaped. We're going to turn around. We're going to be super. No time. Jeremiah says, not true. So it's the matter in terms of saying there's the failure of possibility and positive thinking to change God's truth. Now, notice verse 17. There's the plea for obedience. He turns to them again and he says, "Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon. Do what is right, and you won't be laid waste. If you dare to trust God, dare to believe His word, dare to believe His promises, God will care for you." But instead, they had their own mind. They had their own way. And they had their own intention. And so, you come to verses 18 through 22. The true prophets would focus on repentance and a plea for mercy. The message to the priests. Listen to the true prophets. Those that are really seeking God, those who are really praying. Notice the term that he uses in verse 18. "Let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem go not to Babylon." See, he's saying they need to have a huge prayer meeting. They need to have disciplined prayer. They need to get together and they need to pray and plead with God to intervene and to work. He was calling for a prayer meeting. Pleading for mercy. And then you notice the dimensions that he describes there in terms of 19 and 20, but now verse 21. "Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them." Now, I've already told you from history, Jeremiah was proven correct. But on that day, as he stood there in front of all these dignitaries, and there he was, so unceremoniously with a yoke on his neck, look at the next chapter. "It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the year, that Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year of the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now the word of the Lord that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off of Jeremiah the prophet's neck and broke it. So he takes it off and he says, and I'm not going to break this piece, but he says, I'm breaking it. There's nothing to it, Jeremiah. You're wrong. Who was telling the truth? Well, we'll have to find out next week. But I ask you to bear in mind this reality. All over the world today, there are people who profess to be speaking for God, and they are ignoring the Word of God. Oh, they may have all of the credentials and everything, and they may be very impressive, but they are liars and deceivers, and they do not care for the souls of people. And as a result, they will stand up and they will say, oh my, as they speak, it sounds like golden honey dripping off. But they're robbing souls of the freedom that is only available in Christ forever. Don't let your soul be robbed by such persons. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reminders of the prophet Jeremiah. Very simple passage, very simple direction of saying that the people had refused to hear. He called the dignitaries, he called the common people, he called all, but particularly the power leaders, the power brokers, to hear the warning of Almighty, you, the Almighty God. May we tonight be responsive and attentive to what you have to say to us. And I pray that in this coming week, that you would cause us to be eager to hear what you say, and not to set aside your word for the word of some charlatan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.